Is the action, the habit, the routine, something you're enthusiastic about? Again, not the goal. The question isn't, are you enthusiastic about reaching your goal weight, or are you enthusiastic about having $100,000 saved in your account? Obviously, you'd be enthusiastic about that. The question is, are you enthusiastic about the action steps that it will take to get you there?
The Happy Healthy Human Podcast will help you build your happy, healthy life. Your host, Paul Levitin, is a board-licensed health and wellness coach, nutrition coach, personal trainer, and behavior change specialist with over 10 years of experience helping people create positive life change. Each week, he discusses topics that will help you understand yourself, why you do the things you do, and how to take steps to create the life of your dreams. He talks with experts from therapists to addictions counselors, coaches, trainers, CEOs, financial planners, and more. If you've ever wondered how can you become the best, happiest, healthiest version of yourself, you've come to the right place.
What do bodybuilding, entrepreneurship, going to therapy, reading more, having a better relationship with your family, and meditating all have in common? All of these things are built through change. Whether it's your body, your bank account, your relationships, anything positive you're trying to create or improve, something has to change. Might be your habits, your actions, your routines. Something about you will have to change. And the unfortunate thing about change is hard. As humans, we naturally dislike change. It is our predisposition to want to stick with the status quo whenever possible. And that's because the status quo represents psychological safety. It is the known. Change, on the other hand, represents the unknown. And the unknown is danger. So everything comes down to survival. Your survival brain will always choose what's known over what's unknown because it's assumed to be more safe. The logic goes, what you're doing hasn't killed you yet. Can't say the same for what you want to start doing. So let's just keep doing what we've always done. Now, obviously, logically, that doesn't actually hold up. You can know that being overweight with diabetes or smoking cigarettes will literally kill you in the future, and that changing your eating or smoking habits will literally make you live longer and also improve your quality of life, but it's not a logical decision that you're making. All of this decision-making goes on behind the scenes in your subconscious. It's lower-level thinking, what some might call your lizard brain. And your lizard brain is what kept our ancestors alive over millions of years of evolution, but today it's not really serving you. So all of the benefits you want come from change, but we have this natural aversion to change. So aside from change, what else do bodybuilding, entrepreneurship, going to therapy, reading more, improving your relationship with your family, getting healthy, and meditating all have in common? Well, if you ask anyone who's been successful in any of those areas, what is the secret to your success? They will all answer the exact same way, with the exact same single word, consistency. It seems like the old cliche is true. Consistency is key. We know that. You didn't need me telling you that consistency is important for your success. In every podcast, blog, book, motivational speaker over the last 100 years has hammered that point. I mean, go back further than 100 years. Over 1,000 years ago, Marcus Aurelius wrote in Meditations, "If you don't have a consistent goal in life, you can't live in a consistent way." Even the Buddha said, "A jug fills drop by drop," alluding to the fact that small efforts over time are where we need to focus. And we hear this, and we know this, and yet we still struggle to take the consistent action towards our goals. So what gives? just in the last 3 or 4 minutes, I've laid out a pretty simple equation for all life success. Doesn't matter, again, if it's physical, mental, financial. Success is equal to change plus consistency. Everything that you want comes on the other side of change done consistently over time. So because change doesn't happen by accident and it takes work to do, we can say that it takes work done consistently over time. So we see that the real equation for success is simply work plus time. Anyone who's ever been successful in any regard, in any area, will agree with this equation. And even people who haven't been successful will probably agree with it. So why, if there's such a simple route to success, and we have a literal equation that we can use to guarantee success, do we continue to struggle? Well, we can look at what we know so far. Work plus time equals success. Success equals work plus time. And work is change. And change is something that our subconscious, lower level survival brain does not like and tries to avoid at all costs. If, however, the change or the work cannot be avoided outright, then what your brain tries to do is the next best thing, which is to get through the change, to get through the work, to get through the discomfort as quickly as possible. Meaning, when we look at that equation of work plus time, what we see is that people tend to try to pour more into the work side of the equation in hopes that it will help them reach success in a lower amount of time. So this is you if you've ever thought, well, okay, if eating 2,000 calories will make me lose weight, then eating 1,500 calories will make me lose weight even faster. So I should probably just eat 1,000 calories and then I'll lose weight twice as fast. Like, genius. Obviously, it doesn't play out like that. And then you add on top of that natural inclination to want to speed through the hard parts, that we live in a society of instant gratification, social media driven world. And then on top of that, we factor in the Western culture of individuality. You were taught to pull yourself up by your bootstraps, just man up, just soldier on. And you combine all of those things and you see that we have been pushed to follow the words of the late great artist Henri Matisse, hard work cures everything. We're made to think that simply work harder is the answer to all of life's problems and the guaranteed route to success. And that sounds reasonable at face value, except that if it were that simple, just work harder, why are you still struggling? And this is when people chime in about laziness. Well, people would work hard if they weren't lazy, or that they need to be motivated, or more disciplined, or they need to have grit. And I personally don't think that any of these words are helpful. They're sentence enders. They don't actually tell us anything. They just end the conversation. Well, I would if I wasn't so lazy. Oh, well, I would stick to it. I just can't stay motivated. These things don't answer any questions. They actually bring up more questions than they answer. If the solution is to not be lazy or to be more disciplined, then tell me how to do that, factually. If you aren't and you can't tell me how to do that, then you're just replacing one problem with another. And the reality is that you are not lazy. You know how to work hard. If you're a parent, you do hard work for your kids all the time. You might work in a job where you work hard, or you might have done hard work when you played football in high school, but now you find yourself gaining weight in your 30s. The fact is, you do not have an aversion to hard work. You know how to work hard and have done hard work in the past. You probably work hard to this day. It's just that you only do it in certain areas. And that is the problem. That's what all of this talk of discipline and motivation and hard work are overlooking. It's that work is self-limiting. There is an upper limit to both the amount of and the intensity of work that you are able to do. And a lot of people don't like to hear this because, again, of that westernized culture of work hard, rah, rah, rah. But this is reality. Imagine a bucket. And all the stress you encounter in your life goes into the same bucket. And stress, in this regard, is not specifically negative. A lot of people think of stress to mean negative things, bad things, maybe arguing with your spouse, stressing about your job or the economy, the stress you feel when your boss puts a meeting on your calendar for 3 p.m. on a Friday. But stress is really just another word for change or work or effort. All of these things are the same. And obviously, a lot of times, work, effort, change is positive. Exercise is good for you. It is still stress on your body. Studying, reading books, these things are great for your brain, but they are a form of stress. So all work is stress, whether it's good or bad, it pours into the same bucket. Your body does not discern between the positive stress from exercise and the negative stress from your stock portfolio tanking. All of the stress pours into the same bucket. And interestingly, it is actually specifically the amount of work that decides whether it becomes a positive or negative stress. Exercise is a positive, except when you exercise too much, you get injury and overwork. You know, maybe texting with your new crush is great, but you start triple texting them without a response, and suddenly you find yourself blocked and your text bubbles now show up green. I mean, water is great, but too much and you drown. A glass of wine is relaxing, but a bottle or two, and now you're not remembering how you got home. You get the point. It's the dose that determines the result. And with work, we reach a point of diminishing returns. So even before it becomes completely detrimental, you begin to lose out on some of the positive benefit of the work. It's not as simple as more work equals more benefit, upward and onward forever. So no matter what the stress is, again, it all pours into the same bucket. And that bucket, as most bucket tends to, has a limit. Over a certain line, the bucket is going to begin to spill out. And the way your body is set up, your body cannot continue to operate as normal with its stress bucket overflowing. So when the stress begins to overflow and spill out, things will start to break down. Your body, with or without you knowing, and certainly without your permission, will start to malfunction. You can think of this as sort of like a pressure release valve. When the stress is overflowing, your body must find a way to reduce this stress. And quite often, the direct source of the stress cannot be eliminated. So for instance, when you're stressed about your finances, your job, your relationship, your health, you can't just flip that stuff off like a light switch when your stress bucket starts overflowing. So your body will do things like reduce your overall energy so you're more lethargic. It will reduce your sex drive. It will increase your appetite. You might start craving more sugary sweets. Your immune system won't work as well, and you might find yourself getting sick more often. And sometimes these changes are obvious and obtrusive, like your back starting to hurt and you have to stop working out. Sometimes these changes are tiny and nearly imperceptible, like you're being a little bit more snappy with your kids, or you're just having a little bit of brain fog at work. But over time, these things continue to pile up as long as that stress bucket is overflowing. So no matter what, when your stress bucket continually overflows, your body will continuously try to release the pressure. And unless something changes to reduce the overall stress inputs, there will come a tipping point. So when your stress bucket tips over and it pours out, it leads to overwhelm, burnout, and eventually quitting, because that's the surest way to relieve the stress that you're under. And remember that sometimes this is a conscious decision. Sometimes, though, it's just your quote-unquote survival brain that takes over. When your brain sees a threat as imminent, it will pull the emergency brake. Imagine you're driving down the highway and you start to see smoke coming out of the hood of your car. You're still 100 miles from home. You don't get to just say, I'm not going to worry about that now. I'll figure it out when I get there. That's not how that works. The time for logic was before your hood was smoking more than Snoop Dogg. The reality is, once you've reached that tipping point, the decision is out of your hands. You can decide to stop and pull over, or the car will decide to stop. Either way, you're going to be pulled over on the side of the road sooner rather than later. And that's exactly how your body responds to stress and work. Up until a point, they're great. They're hugely beneficial, even necessary. Without some hard work and stress, you're not going to get anywhere. That's the truth. However, we see that because of how the stress mechanisms of the body are set up, when you work too hard or do too much, it has a reverse negative effect, taking you farther from your goals. So where does that leave you? Well, going back to our equation, if success is equal to work plus time, and work has an upper limit on both the amount that you can do, as well as the result you get per unit of work because of the effect of diminishing returns, then the common knowledge of just work harder can't be the true route to success. We want that to be the answer, just work harder. Because even though it's hard work, it's theoretically easy. While it may be hard to do, it's easy to understand. There's no nuance to push harder. Plus, if it shortens the overall time to your destination, then the extra work feels worth it. Sadly, though, this is not the way. And a lot of people push back against this. They go, no, hard work is the answer. But ask yourself, what successful person do you know that got there quickly? Every person who's lost a ton of weight tends to gain it back just as fast. Lottery winners are not known for their great financial success after the fact. And I haven't heard of anyone parlaying a $100 million lottery win into owning and operating a successful $100 million business. On the other hand, though, simply through the virtue of time and consistency, we do see the opposite is true. People who lose a ton of weight and keep it off will say, it's just about small lifestyle change over time. I'm consistent. And if you take a walk down the Barnes & Noble biography section, you'll literally start shaking at all of the stories of billionaire entrepreneurs and successful CEOs who started with next to nothing but became a quote-unquote overnight success in 10 or 20 years. Now we start to see a more clear picture come into focus because success equals work plus time. And most people think that simply working harder, grinding more, will lead to more success. The reality, though, is that more work only leads to burnout. And that means it is more time that leads to real success. In investing, there's a saying that goes, time in the market beats timing the market. And that highlights the power of compound interest. Warren Buffett calls compound interest the eighth wonder of the universe. With enough time, a trickle of water can carve the Grand Canyon. And with enough time, you can succeed at whatever goal you set out for yourself. Doesn't matter if your goal is weight loss, building a business, having a healthy relationship with your kids, meditating, writing a book. The answer is all the same. Give it time. And making things harder leads to overwhelm, burnout, and quitting, which means it actually gives you less time, cutting yourself off at the knees. The only possible solution then is make things easier. And that's right. I'm here as podcast host, a coach, a mentor, a guru, whatever you want to call it, telling you that it is okay to take the easy way out. Not only is it okay, it's the only way to true success. And this can be a gut check to hear. I mean, it was for me. When I first came to this realization, I was literally in the middle of writing a book that I wanted to call Do the Hard Thing. I mean, there's not more than a 180 than that. But based on everything that I've said over these last few minutes, I can't unsee the truth. And, you know, this might make sense. You might be nodding your head like, okay, I guess I kind of understand what he's getting at. But that still doesn't actually solve the issue. I mentioned before, we tend to make things harder because making things harder is actually easy for us. And stay with me. This is where it gets trippy. While doing hard things is difficult in execution, it is much simpler to understand. For instance, cutting out carbs is a diet many people have tried. The act of actually removing all carbs from your life is quite challenging. Most people find it to be downright impossible, which is why 99% of people who try this diet end up failing and going back to eating carbs. But if we know that it's that hard to stick to and succeed, why do so many people continue to try? Well, it's because even though the action is hard, understanding the what to do is easy. It's a hard rule. No carbs. There's no nuance. There's no subtlety. It's easy for your brain to understand. You don't have to wonder, is this okay? Or can I have this? Or is this on plan? Or is this off plan? Because your brain hates that type of work. Thinking is actually the hardest work of all. So when hard work is hard, but the decision is easy, your brain will err towards that over the opposite. Like learning to count calories so that you can eat whatever food you want and still lose weight. And this bolsters our inclination towards hard work and presents us with an interesting paradox. Doing hard things is easy, and doing easy things we find hard. And that's why I created a framework for making habits and routines easier. This framework is meant to help you decide if a particular habit or routine or action will be one that is probable to be long-term sustainable for you. And remember, everything is about sustainability. So if this is sustainable, it will allow you to reach your ultimate goal. And this framework is an acronym. It's EASIER. Literally the word EASIER. E-A-S-I-E-R. Because in the spirit of everything I've been talking about here, I had to make this as easy as possible. I don't think I can make it easier than that. And if you're running or driving or doing whatever else while you're listening right now, don't worry about writing this down. I've actually created a free checklist that you can download to remember this framework and have access to anytime. It's in the show notes. Just click easier checklist. So when you're thinking about trying to build a new habit or routine, remember, make it easier. And before I break this down, though, understand that this is about the habit and the routines. This is about action. This is not about deciding if a goal is for you. Meaning, let's say, for example, you have a goal of wanting to lose weight. That is the end goal. The EASIER framework is meant to help you decide which actions, like running versus weightlifting or cutting out carbs versus intermittent fasting, might be the best habits and actions to implement in pursuit of that goal. Make sense? So the E in EASIER stands for enthusiastic. Is the action, the habit, the routine, something you're enthusiastic about? Again, not the goal. The question isn't, are you enthusiastic about reaching your goal weight, or are you enthusiastic about having $100,000 saved in your account? Obviously, you'd be enthusiastic about that. The question is, are you enthusiastic about the action steps that it will take to get you there? Does getting up and going for a run make you excited? Or, like me, does it make you want to throw up in your mouth a bit? If you want the result, but you hate the action, you will never get there. A, and EASIER, stands for available. What is actually available to you with your current resources and restrictions? It might sound great to join the 5 a.m. club and get a workout in before the sun comes up, but your schedule with your job and your family and your unique situation might not have that realistically available to you. Better to work with what you've got than to try to shoehorn in what's quote-unquote best or quote-unquote ideal. Okay, so S, and remember, all of this stuff is in the show notes. Don't worry about writing this down. You can download this whole checklist. S is for straightforward. Complexity is the killer of dreams. Remember, this is all about making things easy. The more complex, the harder. If you can't say in exact words how you're going to get from A to B to Z in terms that are easy to understand, the both what you're doing and why are you taking each individual step, then it's too complicated. And if it's too complicated, you're going to find a reason to push back against it and eventually quit. I stands for imperfect. You may have heard, potentially from me if you've been listening to this podcast for a while, perfection is impossible. It is an unobtainable ideal. And if all of this is about sustained consistency over time, and perfection is impossible, then consistent and sustained perfection is doubly so. You have to be okay with not just the ups, not just when things work out as you'd hoped. You have to be okay with and really expect the downs and the lows just as much. If you don't come with this mindset, you for sure will not maintain this habit. Using the stock market as an example, of course you want that money to go up and up and up, but you have to be okay with the down days if you're going to survive in the market. Same thing with weight loss. Of course, you want your weight to go down, but you have to understand that there are times when you'll step on the scale and it will have gone up. That is as much a part of the process as anything else. You have to be okay with the ups and the downs. And the second E in easier stands for exponential. As I mentioned, work has diminishing returns. There's an upper limit on the amount of work that you can do. And that means for the work that you are able to do, you need to look for outsized exponential returns. Trading one for one is not good enough here. You need to be looking for points of leverage where you put in one, but you get back 5, 10, sometimes 100. So an example from my life is riding my bike. When I lived in New York City, I started riding my bike to and from work. And I learned that it actually took a little less time to ride my bike than it took to drive or take public transportation. So I was saving time round trip. And that was a win. Then in the time that I had previously just been driving or taking the subway, now I was biking, which is getting exercise in. So I added more exercise into my day without adding extra any time commitment. Another win. This also let me get more sunshine on my skin, something that we're all lacking. I started listening to podcasts, so I was learning in that same time, and I was saving money on gas and parking. Win, win, win. So the one change, riding my bike, gave me a multiple X return. And that's a habit that I would never want to quit. And still to this day, I ride my bike pretty much whenever possible and far more than I drive. And lastly, the R in easier stands for repeatable. The question is not, can you do the thing once or even for a while? The question is, can you keep this up forever? Anyone can, and most people have, white knuckle their way through some action for some short period of time. Dieting until the summer, working out hard for a month or two, working on a business venture up until the first speed bump, starting to use a budget, but then simply forgetting about it and letting it fizzle out a month later. Doing something once does not impress me. Can you do it from now until you hit your goal and then long past that milestone as well and keep going forever? That's right. You have to keep up the habit even after you've gotten to your goal successfully. That is the big key here. That's what truly distinguishes this as a habit that's ingrained in you. And I know that people don't like to hear that. A lot of people push back and you might say like, well, the whole point of dieting is to lose weight. Once I lose the weight, why would I keep doing that? And to that, I say, that's the whole problem. You're hustling backwards. If a particular habit or routine is what got you to your success, what do you think will happen when you stop doing that thing? I mean, I'll tell you. You're going to go back to your old ways, which will get you back to your old results. And that's called backslide city. If a change is worth making, it's worth doing it the right way. If it's worth doing now, it's worth doing forever. If it isn't worth doing forever, then you have to ask yourself if it's truly worth doing right now, or if you're just wasting your time since you're not going to keep it up in the long run. So for me, it's not worth it. But you have to answer that question for yourself. And reality is that the question of is something worth doing reveals much more than just your goals and aspirations. The way you answer the question of what is worth doing shows your values. It shows who you are as a person. And since where you are now is a result of all of your past actions up until now, your current circumstances and situations tell you everything you need to know about your values and what's important to you. See, I don't need some exercise or worksheet to know what your core values are. Don't tell me you value your health. Show me your diet, your exercise, and your sleep habits. Don't tell me you value your relationship with your family. Tell me about the time you spend together and the conversations you have. As they say, don't talk about it, be about it. We all inherently know when we see someone who walks the walk. This is why we're naturally in awe of people with extremely impressive physiques, because you know that they have worked hard for many years to achieve that. That's why seeing a 17-year-old high school kid with abs isn't really impressive. You see that and you think, well, like, I mean, sure, he looks like that. He doesn't have kids or a job. He's not even a full human. But you see a 42-year-old mom of three or a 50-year-old guy with gray hair with a six-pack and strong arms and legs, now you're thinking, wow, what's their secret? When your cousin Todd says, I'm going to get ripped this year. I went to the gym and crushed it today. I'm already sore. You're going to cheer him on, but somewhere in the back of your mind, you're going to say, we'll see if he actually keeps up with it this time. And similarly, when you hear about a new startup that's making money hand over fist, you think, sure, but we'll see what happens when the economy turns. But if you see a business making money like that for 10, 20 years, through the ups and the downs, through the booms and the recessions, that's when you start to take note. And that's because humans intuitively know what I've been talking about this whole time. It's about the time that matters. Lifestyle change needs to be exactly that, a lifestyle. Sustainability, longevity, consistency, those are the real things success is built on. When you're talking about the things that matter, your health, your wealth, your relationship, this is not stuff that you get to finish. Working hard does not impress me. Anyone can work hard. We use that as a mask to cover up the thing we really struggle with, which is consistency and time. The work is never done. And that's why making it harder on yourself will only serve to keep you stuck in a cycle of trying, succeeding for a bit, reaching a point of unsustainability, burning out, and ultimately quitting. The same pattern that you've seen play out over and over in your life and others. Instead, buckle in for the long game. Embrace that life is already hard enough, so you don't need to make it any harder than it already is. Instead, make things easier. And if you want a reminder about how to do that, click the link in the show notes and get the free Easier Habit Building Checklist.
That's all for this week. Be sure to subscribe and follow the show so you don't miss a beat. Support the show by sending this episode to a friend or leaving a rating and review on iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you're listening. Stay happy, stay healthy.